We have some exciting news for our listeners. This summer, 2025, we will be releasing our book, Confronting Evil in Our Time, unpacking the Screwtape Letters podcast inspired by C.S. Lewis. We are making signed first edition copies available for you leading up to the release. To secure your first edition signed copy, go to screwtapeletterspodcast.com and fill out the form to get your book. From Galen and I, we want to thank you for your support and Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible. God bless. So welcome back to the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time. This is our Biblical Easter Egg Season 2 episodes. And we've been getting great feedback on this because what we're unpacking is the little nuggets of biblical references and themes that C.S. Lewis throws into each of these letters. And what we're doing is actually we're unpacking them in real time to see if there's any kind of trend that matches up with any kind of story within the Bible, to see if he's actually taken any particular book or any particular line of thinking within here, because it starts very much with, in letter one, the incarnation. And in the last one, we just covered where, in a lot of ways, he was paraphrasing the Lord's Prayer with, you know, give us this day our daily bread and thy will be done. So Galen, back to letter seven, which to me had a few things that stand out. And the biggest one for me was the whole idea of the demons and the demonic instructed to hide themselves. And people might say, well, you know, okay, why is that a biblical Easter egg? It's because Christ revealed himself.
I didn't think of it till you said it in that way, but it is a pretty powerful contrast, because the demonic is concealing themselves. They're pulling the strings in the shadows. That's how evil works. That's how evil works in the world today. We see it, and that's how the demonic works. Contrasted to God, who took on flesh. God is light, the light that cast out darkness, and he is constantly revealing things. The Holy Spirit is pulling things off of people's eyes while the enemy is constantly putting the scales on people's eyes. So it's a really powerful contrast, and one that I hadn't seen. So I think it was a great find for an Easter egg.
Now, people would say, what do you mean devil's hiding himself in Genesis? He's right there with Eve, deceiving her. So, but then after that, there's references like in Ephesians talking about how we fight against powers and principalities and spirits. And it's absolutely about the other realm that our war is against. It's not just the flesh. Right. Flesh is part of it. But there are other demonic forces. And I think you see it when you see people who are on drugs. I think you see it in people who are in certain states, and I think even people with no faith at all would be like, whoa, that's demonic.
And it's, right.
Yeah, it is, because there's right. something going on there that just isn't naturally human. There's a possession in there.
Well, and I think that has always been the enemy's MO, because right at the beginning, in the first line in the chapter here, he says, I wonder if you should ask me whether it is essential to keep the patient in ignorance of your own existence. He says that answer has been already given by the high command. Our policy for the moment is to conceal ourselves. I mean, so the demonic does that. You think of the passage, Satan is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. A lion doesn't reveal itself overtly right at the beginning. A lion is, can sneak up on prey. You don't even know it's there. It's coming from the shadows. It's coming from behind until it can pounce on you. And at that point, it's too late. The enemy is always working in the shadows, in the darkness, trying to steal, kill, and destroy and deceive man. And his tactics are perceived as just natural, just perceived, oh, that's just how the world works. Not necessarily. It's usually the enemy pulling the strings of society in one way or another.
Now, what I love about this theme within here is, and I think it's the crux of our podcast, and I think it's the crux of the Screwtape Letters, is to understand that there are demonic forces out there. There is evil that is working against you to separate you from God. And so someone might ask the question, Okay, so why would they hide? If they're that powerful and they can do this, why would they hide? And I think the reason is because that is the way that they stop us, and they have people who don't believe in demonic forces. That's how they work. If they revealed themselves, now you know who you're fighting against. And that's the whole point of our podcast, is to reveal that to people and have them to understand that. Quiet your mind. Stop listening to the little voice in there that's telling you to worry about nothing. Like we covered in the last letter, stop worrying about things that are in the future. Who's putting that voice in your head?
You know, it's also really interesting. I thought of another passage as we were talking through this just now. I might get some of the little details wrong, but it's Book of Daniel. And I believe it's Daniel who is praying. And it says he waited 3 weeks for an answer from an angel. And finally, the angel shows up. And the angel says, I'm sorry, I've been delayed. I've been battling another spirit, basically, is what he's saying. So an angel gets a directive from heaven and needs to go deliver a message or go intervene. And an angel in the unseen realm gets delayed by a period of 3 weeks because of what's happening behind the curtain in the unseen realm. They're constantly working against, you know, in that case, delaying the answer to that prayer for a period of 3 weeks, constantly working in the shadows to cause the children of, you know, the sons of God and children of God to be thrown astray.
Think about the concept, right? If they did reveal themselves, if they did that today, the churches would be packed this weekend because people would be like, I need protection. So for the demonic, the more they hide, the more they reveal themselves, the more people will turn to God because they know that something that they've been wavering on believing in, now all of a sudden they see and it's there. And when you see, and I think you see it within mass murderers, and people say they had some, there was a look about them. There was something with their eyes. They were empty. They didn't look human. And they make all these comments, but people still go, I don't believe in that sort of stuff.
It's not quite clear enough for people, but it's true. Once you see something that you can't deny, it's not of this world. It's something supernatural. It's something that's clearly supernatural and not good. You know, if to see demonic at work, all of a sudden it kind of brings you back into an understanding and acknowledgement of the unseen realm, the things of the Lord. And if you acknowledge that evil, then you're going to turn to the good as well. So it definitely is a pretty strategic tactic. Like you said, the churches would be full. All of the atheists and agnostics and all the Neil deGrasse Tysons of the world would have a lot of holes blown into their their worldview and their belief system if suddenly this was kind of an undeniable thing. But when it's subtle and when it's behind the scenes, so to speak, you know, the impact can be a lot greater. But it takes discernment to really identify, you know. And it's actually true even in the Lord has a similar thing. You can't see the Holy Spirit, it says in John, but you can see the wind blow. You know, you can't always see the wind, but you can see the evidence of the wind. And a lot of times it takes spiritual discernment, and it takes the Lord opening your eyes to be able to see. I can't see the Lord working in this situation. I can't see him, but I can clearly see he's at work. Same can be said of the demonic. And that's what I think this podcast is also all about. Find how Satan is working and identify it, because he's not going to make himself known. When he does, we find out in a later chapter, it turns into some sort of centipede-like creature. It's a pretty nasty thing. but we can see the evidence of the forces of evil constantly working in the background.
And you think to keep the church small, because a bigger church would absolutely be the last thing the demonic want. That's one reason why they hide themselves. The stronger the church gets, the bigger the church gets. We have a bit of a revival going on at the moment in America, and hopefully it'll be something that'll be a revival worldwide with people coming back to God and ultimately making the world a better place. But there's a line in there, and I'm going to throw this to you, which he talks about the church is protected. And you said you had some biblical reference to the church being protected.
Yeah, well, two things come to mind off the bat. First is, I think we talked about it maybe in a previous episode, Matthew 16, where it talks about the gates of hell will not withstand the church. So it shows the church on the offense. It shows a scene in like a military battle where it's the church and the forces of evil, and hell itself is not going to stand. So it has armor. It's moving forward. It's on the offense. The gates of hell will not prevail against what the church is doing in advancing a military effort. The full armor of God that Paul talks about in Ephesians. It talks about the breastplate of righteousness. It talks about the belt of truth. It talks about, the gospel of peace, that the church is protected, that there are resources available. And those are things that we're supposed to be praying for and praying on a daily basis. I think that's really Paul's point in Ephesians, where he unpacks that, because what we're doing is battle. And there are resources that God gives us, that God gives the church to protect us as we're going about our lives, which essentially is spiritual warfare every single day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great headspace. And I love the way C.S. Lewis has intertwined this in here, because I think ultimately this is seven letters in, and he's begging the question with people, do you believe in the demonic spirits? And because if you don't, here's probably the reason why, is because they conceal themselves. Because if they revealed themselves, you'd not only believe in them, but you would rush to God.
Right. And I think it's also interesting just that to unpack even just that broader concept of concealment. They're concealing themselves, and they're also constantly trying to conceal the truth. Truth is... Correct. The truth is something that is, just get more eyes on, get more transparency, bring cast out the darkness is really what God does. And when we see things more clearly, we can see God as he is. We can see the world as he made it. But what Satan's constantly trying to do is distort our view, so that we can't see truth. God is a revealer. I like the way you said it at the beginning. God is a revealer. He reveals himself, and he allows us over the course of time, he peels back our eyes so that we can see truth more and more clearly. It's what the Holy Spirit does. It removes the scales off of our eyes. And what Satan is doing is a concealer. God is very overt. He gets it right out in the open, lets himself be known. It's his wisdom is crying out in the streets. For all, listen, young man, come. For all who will come and cry out to me, wisdom is waiting for the opportunity to reveal herself. But Satan is here to conceal, here to deceive, here to cast doubt, here so that we can see and understand less and less, so that we can walk in darkness, which is what he's the prince of.
Yeah, and I'm talking about the deception, the line in there that C.S. Lewis uses, the demonic's goal is to make the world an end and faith a means. The whole idea of making the world an end is living by worldly goods, measuring yourself by your worldly possessions, by things that you achieve in this world, things that don't mean anything to God, rather than making the world a journey of faith. You're now making sure everything is leveraged on tangible things in this world that you will never take with you.
Right.
And that's a great deception for them to have. I was talking with some friends lately, and exactly this topic came up. We're talking about how as you get older, it's funny how things that used to mean something to you, you just like, they're just possessions.
This is stuff.
Stuff, yeah. That earlier in your life you were holding on to because you had all these grandiose ideas of things you would do with them. And then as you get older, you just go, wow, we've just got so much stuff. It's just everywhere. and having things is nice, but in the great scheme of things, I think we joked about this before. Does anyone really want to have, I had a 96-inch TV on their gravestone?
Right. But think about it, though, the correlation here, because this is where he goes in the chapter. It is like, let's get the church arguing over silly things and let's make the world a means to an end, or the church is just a means to an end and the world the end, when you can't see truth.
Correct.
When the meaning of life, when the broader ideas are concealed, you end up looking at the unimportant things as if they're the main things, because he's concealing what, you know, imagine if you could really see Satan and the peel back the curtain or flip the light switch on and be able to see what's happening in the unseen realm with good and evil and, you know, the demonic fighting the angels. If you could see what's going on in the spirit realm, boy, all that little stuff wouldn't seem so important to me anymore.
Right. Correct.
Which also I think is why, you know, people that are walking with the Lord, I think you're mature believers, do get to a point in life where you say, what's the point of all this stuff? Because your spiritual eyes are matured over time as well. And that stuff pales in comparison to what really matters, you know.
And ultimately your faith and the relationship you have with Jesus Christ should be your end. That's what it should be, yeah. Not the world. The world, right, is not the end for you. And death is not the end for you. Faith and that relationship is the end. And it's the end that we should all be reaching for. And to get there and get through this life and being drawn away from sin, going back to where we started from, the demonic will be attacking you. You have to defend yourself, but you have to acknowledge that they're there in the first place and they're working on you. C.S. Lewis uncovered it beautifully in this book, all the different ways that the demonic can throw you off to separate you from God. And I think that just becomes the great message in letter 7 of the biblical Easter eggs for confronting evil in our time. So until next time.